Here's a sneak peek of our episode.
I do feel pressured to be grateful, yeah.
It can be a little bit of anxiety and it can also be a little bit of anger.
This is some deep shit. So you get in that spiral of like being alone, overthinking, missing your friends and family. And now I have a new nightmare unlocked. So thank you. No.
What was your lowest moment abroad and what helped you through it?
Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon from women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love. Hey guys, and welcome back. I'm Anna Sherina.
And I'm April Betts.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. In today's episode, we're going to talk about mental health and how to deal with like heavy emotions and feeling low when you moved abroad and you just can't go home in a minute. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So I think it will be like a very personal and deep talk today. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys are in for it.
Yes.
And before we start, we would like to remind you that we have a Patreon page where you can sign up to become a member and get access to bonus content, bonus episodes, blooper content, Lisbon vlogs, Lisbon tips, and much more. So if you want to see more, you can subscribe through the link in the description. And we see you guys there.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
let's get into it.
Yes. Ooh, how does homesickness show up for you? Is it like sadness, anger, frustration, feeling numb? What is it for you?
I think probably anxiety seems more for me. In regards to homesickness, I think it comes in like waves.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember telling this story, I don't remember what episode, but on my birthday last year, how homesickness like showed up that I didn't realize that I was having it until my birthday. And then we were all at a dinner and my brother had like sent me this birthday card, this digital electronic birthday card thing, and I opened it and read it, and then I just started bawling. Because he had said in there, like, we know that you're far away and all this other stuff, and like I was like, oh shit, I really am far away, and like I can't just go home.
Exactly.
You know, so it shows up during like special occasions and things like that. And then also too, I think it shows up when like just going about your day here in Lisbon and not knowing the language fully, it's like there are certain situations that can happen where I feel like I can't really communicate or I can't really express myself. So in that situation, it can be a little bit of anxiety and it can also be a little bit of anger sometimes, like with what happened today on the bus. I was ready to go fuck off. But I didn't. But I think if I could speak the language and I knew what they were saying, I would go off in their language and like have a whole on like debate. I tend to have like, I realize I have debates with people because I, when they have their perspective of what they want to say, I like counter their perspective in a sense of like, what was the reasoning for that perspective? Like, what is it really gonna do? And the situation I'm talking about right now is I was on the bus and I had Bella with me. I put her in her bag, but she wasn't fully zipped up and the bus driver was having a fit. And he's like saying, I'm guessing he's telling me to zip it up. And I said, okay, I'm going to zip it up. And I kept moving. And he's like, no. Like, I guess he wanted me to do it before I got on the bus or whatever, but I was already there. I'm like, I'm not getting off.
Yeah.
So he was just having a fit. And then I'm like, I'm not getting off. So you mm-hmm. sit here, or are we just going to keep driving? So,
yeah.
But in that situation, I would have asked, like, what's the big deal with her being zipped up or not being zipped up mm-hmm. in that situation? Like, how is it going to affect anyone on the bus?
Yeah.
Like, what is the reasoning? Like, I just want to know the reasoning behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do it, but just tell me the reasoning behind it so I can understand where you're coming from. Are you saying it because you want to be, like, an asshole and be mm-hmm. like, I'm the boss and I can tell you something?
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, mm-hmm. I can tell you what to do because you're riding the bus mm-hmm. kind of thing? Or is it because you're literally just trying to follow the rules?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it really depends. But I feel like with the bag and the dog situation, you got this more often, right?
Yeah, this is the second time it's happened.
Yeah, so maybe you should make like a script for yourself to ask. Like,
I know, I do. I need to. Yeah. I actually thought about that. I was like, I need to figure out how to say this in Portuguese so that I can tell them.
Well, you can just ask like a problema, like, is there a problem? But yeah, if you don't understand the answer, then it's hard.
Yeah, I didn't understand anything he mm-hmm. was saying, because he was saying it so fast and I just didn't catch it, because also too I'm like dealing with like carrying stuff and making sure she's okay, and like all of this was happening and I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then I just get frustrated, and then when I get frustrated, I start swearing and I'm just like, I don't give a fuck, move. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and also we are filming, so it's like you can get off the bus, but then you have your schedule, so it's like you need to go, basically, so you don't have a choice but to stay. And
and it was so funny, like right before I left, I feel like my guides was telling me, like, actually I didn't bring her card with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my guides were telling me to bring the card, and I had a feeling that something was gonna happen on the bus, like with her, and it totally happened. I'm like, okay, I didn't listen. But next time I'm just gonna bring the card and I'm just gonna put it in their face and be like, how do you say shut up in Portuguese? I was about to say it in Spanish, but
I only know nice words in Portuguese so far. The dirtiest word I know is shitting, like taking a shit.
What's that?
Fazer coco. Coco.
Oh, fazer
coco.
Coco. That sounds like nice. Coco. Like, give me some coco.
No, it's like, there's like a difference between like coco, like coconut, and coco. I think it's coco.
To say it like a certain way. Cuckoo. Is it cuckoo or
I think it's coco.
How do you spell it?
C-O-C-O.
So the O's are like coo here.
Yeah, but the poop is coco. 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 But if you
I know
say,
it in Spanish, caca.
It's really similar. But I heard that a lot of people, maybe I'm also mistaking now, mm-hmm. but they mess up like coconut, like coco.
Oh, and so they're coco. Saying coconut and like the same with like bread and.
Yeah, exactly.
Those out there know what I'm saying.
Beep, Too dirty for the episode.
I know. Okay, enough about me being frustrated. Okay, tell me, how does homesickness show up for you?
I think for me, everything feels heavy.
Mm.
And it's just, normally I'm really good with like enjoying like the little things in life. Mm. And I can be very happy with just like small things in life. But then if I'm homesick, somehow I don't see like the point of life anymore. It's like that bad. It's like, but it's not for a longer period. It's just when I have these phases, I know it will pass. But somehow, like, you start to question everything you're doing, and everything feels pointless. That's how it is for me. Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking in those moments of homesickness? Is it you missing like your friends and family, or is it something more?
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, the moments that I dealt with like homesickness, it was always when there was something else going on, like being sick or feeling depressed or winter depression or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure. But I think mostly it's just whenever there's like something going on there, then I'm like, oh, I wish I was there to experience it with them, like some event or some birthday or some just something.
Yeah.
That you know that, yeah, you will miss because you're here.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, that doesn't happen all the time because it's like just life is life, daily life.
Does it happen more like if you're having, like you said, are you having like a hard time and then you feel it more? Or like if you're having like a good time here and you're in a good place, do you still feel the homesickness when there are events there?
I think it's a lot less. I think for me, it's already, there's like something going on here that I'm already like not feeling myself. That it is like on top of that. But I think like in general, I don't really have a lot of homesickness. So that's really good. It's just these specific moments, especially during winter. Because of the lack of light. And yeah, of course, Portugal is a lot sunnier than the Netherlands, like still in the winter. It's but a lot we have less had cold.
The past two winters have been pretty bad here.
Yeah, with a lot of rain. And also, yeah, just felt like it was darker than I expected it to be. Because also the sun sets pretty early also here. And also in the winter, yeah, with like the weather, no one really wants to hang out or do something. So you get in that spiral of like being alone, overthinking, like missing your friends and family. And then everything starts to get on top of it.
So I'm curious, in the Netherlands, you guys have a lot of bad days of bad weather. There, do people still go out no matter the weather because it's always so bad, or how is it?
Yeah, I think it really depends. Also, if you have a car or not, because if it's like really shitty weather, and yeah, most people, they have like a bicycle or they have to walk. And taking an Uber is not really like common, I would say, because it's super expensive. And also in my hometown, there's not that much Uber drivers. So, but I think, yeah, most people push through because it's like it's dark and cold for such a long period of the year. So it's like your life can't really stop because of that. So I think in general, people are quite resilient too.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wasn't, so. That's why I was so depressed.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Because I just couldn't, and yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I think also in Portugal we had some heavy winters with storms and rain, so yeah.
For us it was mostly just the rain, though, that made it an issue.
Yeah, and the storms were scary, like a lot of damage. There were damage.
Crazy storms.
Yeah.
I slept through a bunch of them, though.
That's okay.
Good. Okay, let's get to the next one.
Yes.
Have you ever felt pressure to be grateful you're living the dream, even when you were struggling?
Oof, yeah. I'm sure. Like, I think we also spoke about this in another episode. I don't remember which one it was, honestly. Normally I do, but this time I don't. But I think it's pretty common also for people that move abroad, because also the people back home, they are like, yeah, you chose this, right? It's like, you also sometimes feel that you can't complain just because you live like your dream life, and also a life that most people can only dream about, but they can't live it. So I do feel pressured to be grateful, definitely. How about you?
I don't feel pressured to be grateful because I'm already grateful, but I don't feel like pressured by it.
Yeah, but like if I'm extra grateful, maybe
I'm already super grateful. Like, I live here. I'm at my max because I'm like, oh my God, I live here. Like, I'm so excited. Like, because it's so far from me. And it's like, I never knew how this could happen, that I could actually be here. And it's like, I finally made it. So like, I'm always going to be like 1,000% grateful. But, I think in the sense of this question, I could see it in the sense of like, okay, you're here. So it's like, if you're ever having a bad time, then it's like, are you, like in a sense not allowed to have a bad time or something because you moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the situations that I've had bad, I was able to work through it. And I still have my family and my friends that I can lean on. And luckily, we've made such an amazing group of friends here that mm-hmm. I feel like I can call them family.
Yeah, same.
So it feels like home to mm-hmm. me here. So it's like, I'm super grateful to be here. And like, I think my worst fear is like, for some reason, if like they tell me I can't stay anymore.
Seriously.
That's my worst fear. Yes. Because then I'm just like.
I know.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, now I have a new nightmare unlocked. So,
oh,
thank you.
No, sorry.
This is the type of dream that's going to be like repetitive,
no.
Right?
I think that's another reason, too. I haven't really gone off on anybody because I'm like, are they going to kick me out? I think if I was in the States, I would have went off on like a bunch of people already. But because I'm
yeah,
like...
but that's always easier in your own country, I feel.
I know.
I was like a Karen in the Netherlands. Like, seriously. And here, I feel like, I don't know what the opposite of a Karen is, but here I'm like...
A nice person? No.
Chilling, yeah. Exactly. The only time here that I was a Karen was with the electricity situation. And mm-hmm. I think we spoke about this in like two episodes ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was a recent one. But mm-hmm. other than that, I'm chilling, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's so different.
It is.
But it's also because of how people treat you. Uh-huh. That you don't feel the urge to...
Yeah, people are more relaxed here.
Yeah.
And just chill. It's like a easygoing vibe.
I know.
So I only... Like, if someone comes at me crazy, that's when I end up matching their energy, which is not good. In a sense, I need to not match their energy
yeah.
and, like, come at in a more calm and peaceful way. But sometimes my airy side is
mm-hmm.
like, no.
Girl, I'm a Taurus
soul. Yeah.
I think what they say is true about like the bull and the red. If they see the red flag or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, they're on it. And I think that's really true. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been like, I know it probably sounds like I'm like always going off on people, but I'm not.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
But
it's
yeah.
just, I think when people come at like, my dog, which is my child,
mm-hmm.
or it's that side of me that comes out when I see other people like being bullied or being like in that type of situation, then that's a whole different side of me that comes out that is just like, whoa, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
That like I sometimes surprise myself because it's like I'm just so chill and calm and quiet, but
mm-hmm.
if like you do something like that, then it's game on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I think it's also good to have both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also, people can't mess with us, right? It's like,
no.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun to kind of, like, see people's reaction because they think that they can, like, get over on you because you're, like, I've just seen this throughout my life. Like,
mm-hmm.
because I'm so quiet
mm-hmm.
and I don't really say much, I'm just very reserved. And then so people take that as like a sign of weakness or something. And they think that they could like get over on you. So I've had people try me and then they see the other side and they're like, oh, shit, I can't fuck with her.
They didn't see that coming. Like,
no, they didn't.
No, that's
yes.
funny.
Okay.
Alrighty. Next one. Have you ever felt stuck between two worlds? Like you don't fully belong anywhere?
Oh, ooh. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes here in the sense of just trying to navigate things without being able to speak the language and without being able to communicate with everyone, I feel like in a sense that it's hard to navigate this world. Like, I can't navigate this world as I would navigate it in the States.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, like, in the States, like, if I wanted to open up a business in the States, like I could go do it like tomorrow and like big boom, 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 get it all done, da, da, da. Like here, if I want to open up a business, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, where do I go? Where do I start? And then
yeah.
it's like, so, I mean, but that's the whole thing of like moving abroad. It's like, it's going to be a challenge. You're going to have all these different things that You don't know what's going on or where to go, what you're doing, but that's what makes it unique and a unique experience.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, but also maybe like moving here made you feel like your life back home or the States differently.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was already, but maybe even more, you know?
Yeah, I see the rat race more in the States now that I live here. I mean, I had saw it when I was in the States, but you can see it a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
Once you leave
it. I agree, yeah.
Especially just seeing how people live here and it's very relaxed life. Even though the salaries are a lot smaller, people still can do things and live life in a nice and comfortable way and not be stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I've seen. I don't know if it's 100%, but...
Well, on the outside, it can look like that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on on the inside, but...
People are struggling, but like you say, you still see them out and about, even if it's just for like a little beer or a little coffee.
Yeah, and they're always spending time with their friends and family, which I love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that doesn't really happen that much in the States because everybody's working. And then also, too, in the States, I'm always used to everyone being in cars, whereas I think this is the first time where I actually see people like walking. And it's like, it kind of makes me feel like I'm in a movie sometimes because it like, because of the buildings too. I feel like I'm like on a movie set sometimes because
that's
like
crazy.
With the lighting and everything. Because now it's like you see people walking, like in the States, it's like everyone's driving. You don't really see, connect with people as much because you're always in a car.
Mm.
And here you actually like cross other people's path and you can just see them like going about their day. Whereas... You don't really see that in the States because everyone's in their car and, and hidden.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I just find that interesting. But yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm on a set when I'm here.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like also with like movies and stuff that I've seen, I kind of have an image of it. But on the other hand, I can't imagine like living a life there. Like in a sense that it's more closed off and people are like hidden in their car or whatever. I can't imagine because I'm always like, yeah, for me, I think here it's very similar to the Netherlands in a sense that the streets are like small. People are always walking.
Yeah.
So
it's different for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's why I love Europe so much because it's like a completely different vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just it works with me and my energy.
Yeah, it's completely different world.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
What about for you? What about you? Do you feel stuck in between different worlds being here?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I noticed when I would go back now, like to the Netherlands on a trip to visit like family or friends, I notice always when I arrive there, I can immediately feel like my heartbeat like kind of raising in a sense that the energy is so different and I just feel like immediately like there's like stress, people are expecting things. It's like the pace is like so much faster and just people in general, they're like less chill. But that's something that I can see now even more because I moved here. But it's so weird because of course, if I'm there, it's like suddenly I can just, understand every conversation, right? It's like, even if I don't pay attention to it, even if I don't want to hear it, it's like suddenly it's like kind of your eyes are open again. That feeling if you're like out in the water and you come up and you're like, whoa, I can hear. That's how I feel. Because here it's like you hear so many different languages every day.
Yeah.
So many different English accents, so many different Portuguese accents. And also Lisbon is very noisy. So sometimes even if you want to hear like a conversation somewhere, just to follow the conversation, it's sometimes hard. So whenever I arrive like back home, it's like suddenly I can hear where everybody's speaking about, but I feel a bit like a stranger, you know, because I feel so connected with Lisbon and Portugal and my life here. And I don't know, I feel like it's so such a weird experience now to go back.
You know what's interesting? And when you, I feel like being here and not being able to hear or understand everyone, it kind of gives you a sense of peace in a sense, because it's like you aren't absorbing their conversation. You're not absorbing their energy because you don't know what's happening. But like when you go home and you understand everything, you kind of take, whether you realize it or not, you're taking on that energy because you know what's happening. You know what they're saying. And I realize that, like, now that you mentioned it, but it's like you do kind of have a sense of peace because it's like you're in your own world. And then it's like when I do hear English, I'm like, and then I can understand. And I'm like, wait, where am I? Huh?
Yeah, that's true. But also, yeah. I feel like it's so weird that in a like a country where it's like your own language, you can understand everything. I felt the last time that I was there, I felt like also people didn't treat me nice. Like you would expect, like, oh, in your own country, you speak the language. So people also like it when you, of course, speak their language. So it's like, I'm home, you know. I
can Oh, they were rude to you?
Yeah, because I went to the pharmacy because I had to pick something up there. And I had to grab like a ticket, like with a number. And there was like one guy before me and he was already at the desk. So I was like, oh, I'm the next one in the line. So I was just chilling. Normally Dutch people, they are like on it, right? But I was just like my chill Portuguese mindset, just chilling there. I was like, I know that I'm the next one. So I'm just gonna chill. I have my ticket here, whatever. And then that guy left, and then I was like looking up, and then all of a sudden I saw like number 36 and I had 35, and I was like, how is this possible? Because I'm just, I'm standing here.
Wait, you were supposed to stand behind the guy and wait or something?
I don't know, but I was looking at it and I was like, how is it supposed to be 36? Because I'm just here, and I was like waiting for my turn, like patiently. And then a woman said to me, like, yeah, I already made a turn for 35, but yeah, you were a bit distracted. And I'm like, hello? I was the only one there. She could just say to me, like,
hey. You were the only one in there? And yes. She didn't say anything, and she like, whoa.
Yes!
That's rude as fuck.
I know, I was just standing there. She could say to me, like, hey, yeah, it's your turn. Because she did that also with the man before me, like the guy. So I was like, oh, she noticed people. And she would be like, hey, it's your turn, right? So I was just like minding my business, just chilling.
She was jealous.
And then all of a sudden she skipped my number. And I was like, wow, customer service in my home country. Like,
because she was nice to the guy, but she wasn't nice to you?
No, but because she was nice to the guy, I was like, oh, she's probably also gonna be nice to me, but no. So then I had I ordered what I needed, and then I wanted to pay and I needed to go to another desk or something. And she was so rude. So literally I was also like rude to her because I was like so done with her. So I just paid and I grabbed the thing and I didn't say anything. Because I was like so angry. I was like, why? Because it was like a nice day, sun was shining. Also, she wasn't in a hurry. There were not so many people waiting. She could have been nice, you know. So, yeah.
Sounded like somebody who was jealous.
I don't know. But I feel like here, it's super different. And also, for example, whenever I take like the guinea pigs out, I take my guinea pigs sometimes to a little park. And also the people there, they recognize me. They're always so friendly. They're like waving at me and some come to me for like a little talk. And then the last time that I was there, there were like little kids and they were like very interested in the guinea pigs. And they were like looking. And I also spoke with him with them a little bit in Portuguese. And it was so cute because I felt like their age because I was like struggling with the language and stuff. And they asked me things and I replied. And then they asked some more things and I didn't understand completely. So I had like these little kids like teaching me a word in Portuguese and it was so cute actually. It was like, aww.
I know. Yeah. I feel like I need to hang out with little kids to help with my Portuguese. I feel like I would learn a lot faster.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on.
Yes.
What was your lowest moment abroad? and what helped you through it?
I think for me, the lowest moment was, I think in the first year that I moved here and my parents visited me. And after they left, I came into the like this black hole. I was like, I don't know what to do anymore because I just wanted to go with them back home and see my friends. And it was weird for me to kind of wave them goodbye and then stay here. So I think that that feeling stayed for like a couple of days, maybe even a week, I don't remember. But I came in, into this like spiral of like, I don't know anymore. I don't know what I want. And just this whole starting to questioning everything, you know? And that's, I found that really like a heavy energy. And it's not.
That's some deep homesickness right there.
Yeah, that's not something that I had experienced before, like in the months before. And also after that, I've never had that moment again.
It was your first time that your family had come to visit you. So, and then for them to leave. So that was, yeah, I can understand how that could be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that was the only time. And I also knew where it was coming from. Because it were just multiple things like together and you start like spiraling. And that's how it goes. How about you? Was it also like recent or?
I would say the hardest moment for me was the mold situation in my apartment.
That was this year.
Yeah, it was just a month ago that I was dealing with this. That was the hardest, I think, for me here in Lisbon. Just because it dealt with my health and I never get sick, and the fact that I was sick and like, and I had never dealt with mold, and I just had to learn about all of this stuff and just dealing with Bella getting sick and dealing with this stuff. It was very stressful. And then having to move. It was already stressful to move in the beginning to come here, but then to, I was like terrified of like moving to another apartment again because I didn't know what the situation would be like and how it would be. But luckily, I mean, I think Portugal wants me to be here because everything worked out perfect and so quickly.
Yeah, very fast.
Very fast. I mean, faster than it would be in the States, I feel like. But yeah.
Yeah, that's very surprising, actually.
I know.
But yeah, I think the universe knew that you really needed it, like now.
It was bad. It was really bad. But yeah, I would say that would be it.
Yeah, but we survived.
Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, that's what life is about, right? Ooh, do you think living abroad amplified parts of your personality or mental health you hadn't noticed before? This is some deep shit. Like, I feel like I'm on the couch with a therapist now, you know? Like, my own therapist.
I would say yes. And I actually talked about this in one of our episodes, how I felt like coming here to Portugal, it's like I found my voice. Because, as I talked about earlier, I'm very quiet. I'm very reserved. I mostly just, I like to observe. I don't like to engage as much. That's just me. That's just who I am. But I feel like here, I've just come into my voice more. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I was ever afraid to speak or say my piece. It's just that I just maybe just was reserved in the sense of like not really saying as much, but maybe I'm just more comfortable in myself and being just truly authentic. And I think this podcast has brought it out a lot. Like, it's, I feel like it's really weird that I'm on a podcast. Like, if I look at myself like 20 years ago, that would just seem so weird to me. Like, like I'm not a talker at all, but I'm like sitting here talking for like hours and it's like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, like this has literally changed me completely in the sense of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would just say I found my voice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. What about for you? Ooh, I think I've also mentioned this before, mm-hmm. but I feel like living abroad really helped me to get more self-acceptance. Mm. Because before I was like kind of pushing myself in the sense that, oh, when I live abroad, I'm gonna live this like amazing life, I'm gonna meet people, I'm gonna go to events and do this and do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I had that image, because I'm always the type of person, I really love to socialize, but I also really need my alone time and I need to recharge. Mm-hmm. And I can enjoy myself perfectly like for hours in the sun with a book and just stay in silence, mm-hmm. stay in peace. And I think moving here just made me realize that even more, that I don't need like big things or fancy mm-hmm. things or like meeting so many people or having like 20 friends or whatever. It's like I just realized that I've always been like this, and no matter where I go, I will always stay like that, mm-hmm. and it's okay. Mm-hmm. So
did you feel like it wasn't okay in the Netherlands when you were there?
Yeah, I think at that time it was okay, but I just had this image of myself, like when I would move abroad, I would change that part of me. Mm. And I really wanted to change it, because I felt like if I would be more like outgoing and more socializing and stuff, I would kind of like live life to the fullest or something. That was the thought that I had. Mm-hmm. Because also like the sun changes my mood a lot. And also I do have more energy here now, but that doesn't mean that I spend it on things that don't fit me. So it's like I do have more energy, but I spend it on doing more things I love. And even if it's not like going out and about and meeting people, seeing people, but just doing what I want to do.
You learned more about yourself by being here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's amazing. And I think that's the whole point of, like, I mean, it's an extra bonus, mm-hmm. especially when you move abroad alone.
Mm-hmm.
You have the time to really reflect and figure out exactly who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that will happen regardless. Like, I think everybody moving abroad, mm-hmm. you will experience that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it goes in some kind of speed mode, because you're alone and it's like so many things you need to take care of. And mm-hmm. yeah, that can be challenging, but it's worth it.
It totally is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
Ooh, what? Last but not least.
Last one. Okay. If someone listening feels trapped or emotionally exhausted abroad, what would you tell them?
Yeah, it's easy, of course, to say like, oh, everything will pass, because that's, and also deep down, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you know that it will pass, and it's, these are temporary emotions, mm-hmm. temporary feelings. But to make it like super practical, I can share what I did when mm-hmm. I was like in that super low mm-hmm. state. And literally, I didn't see a point in anything anymore, but I just wrote like a list of things that I did that made me feel a little bit better. Mm. For example, like I remember very well, I was like home already for such a long time and I was like sick. I had an allergic reaction. I was depressed. I had to say goodbye to my parents that visited me, and that we went for like a coffee mm-hmm. and I just walked there in the sun and like seeing pretty Lisbon, and I was like already feeling much better. Mm-hmm. And then we went for coffee, and then I could also share some thoughts with mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. So I did write down like a list, like meeting a friend, like sitting in the sun, going for a walk, just very basic.
I love it. The simple things.
Yeah, but at that time, if you're like spiraling, you don't notice it anymore, you don't see it anymore, and it's like deep down, you know what you need to do, but you don't feel like doing it. So now I have just this plan, like emergency plan. If I ever feel like super low, I can just read like what I did the last time to make it disappear. And I think you can make a plan like that for everything, like feeling low or feeling homesick or...
Yeah.
It's just that you need to know, like, if the time comes, you know what you need to do. And yeah, I think for everybody it's different, of course. So first you need to find out what's helping you, of course, before you can make a plan like that. But just whenever you realize, like, oh, this made me feel better, just write it down or put it in your phone and
Kind of. But in regards to this, I would say you're going to go through it. You're going to go through the hard times. It's just, it's going to happen. You're leaving everything that you know, everything that you've ever known, and you're going into something completely different.
Yeah.
Like, that change is a huge change. So I would say sit in it, feel it, and then let it go. And find the things that you love. Find the things that bring you joy. Just like you said, the simple thing of going for a walk or sitting in the sun or... It doesn't have to be this grand gesture of things. It's just like, what makes you smile?
Yeah, and I also think it's really normal to have those feelings. I think everybody will experience it like sooner or later. And I think why it hit me was because it was like, I was already here for like half a year. So I was like, oh, that moment, that low moment, I won't experience it. But somehow it hit me.
Yeah, and so, then you didn't have a lot of distractions to distract you from that feeling.
No.
Because remember that one friend that you had here, and she was just like nonstop doing stuff, doing stuff.
Yeah.
I felt like she was like distracting herself from I don't know what, but to like constantly like be doing something every hour on the hour for like day after day after day. Like, you're trying to distract yourself from something.
Yeah, she had like a whole calendar full of events and things, and I was even exhausted by looking at it. Like, seriously. But I think there's always like, you know, deep down if you're like distracting yourself or if you're just distracting yourself just to make you feel a little bit better, just to enjoy like the simple things instead of like distracting yourself because you're running away from something or from yourself. But in this case, obviously I'm talking about like getting out of like that negative spiral because I knew that it was the right decision to be here and I was still happy here, but just not in that moment. So that's why I came up with like this plan of little things, just to kind of like remember myself.
I think that's
why
great.
I came here.
I think it's great. And then you guys, you're gonna go through it. You're gonna go through it, but you have to go through it. That's like a part of growing. I mean, it's gonna suck, but you gotta sit in it. And then, you know, get out. You can't stay there.
No, you can't. And also, I think journaling about it really helped me at that time.
Yeah, if you aren't able to communicate verbally with someone or just...
Yeah, but sometimes you don't want to with things like that.
That's true.
At least that's how I felt.
Yeah, depending on what it is, that's true. But journaling is really good.
Yeah, and also it's really nice, like, years later to read it back, and you were like, wow. Like,
whoa, I was really going through it.
Seriously, I was in some deep shit.
Because I forget. I forget very easily. Like, I almost forgot that I went through the whole mold situation.
Seriously, time flies so fast.
So that's actually, good.
Yeah, many things you can do to make you feel better.
Well, there you go, guys.
Yes.
This is how we have dealt with homesickness and moving abroad and going through stuff while living in a whole other country. It's like a whole other world. It literally is. But we love it. We went through it and we stuck it out and we're still here and we love it. And yeah. And we hope that you learned something from our experiences and what we've shared.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah. Any last words?
No.
Okay.
Not today. Not today anymore.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. And remember to like, share, and subscribe. And we will see you guys in the next one. And this is
from Lisbon with love. Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.